Columbus.
Good evening, I'm Eric Mosley. The Cincinnati Reds are hosting the Pirates tonight, who come in right in a three-game losing streak. Pittsburgh will ride the arm of Paul Skeens while the Reds hand the ball to Hunter Green. First pitch is at 6:10, and you can listen to all the action right here on The Fan after the Buckeye Show. Arizona travels to Cleveland for a three-game series with the Guards. Cleveland, who are 4-6 in their last 10 games, sends Tanner Bibee to the bump to face Diamondbacks' Mitch Bratt. Game time is 7:10. One final from earlier today, the Yankees top the Cubs 2-0. CBS Sports announced today that they have placed NFL analyst Tony Romo on leave until further notice, following his arrest last week under suspicion of driving under the influence. And in the second round of the Rocket Classic in Detroit, there's a three-way tie for the lead between Cam Young, Patrick Cantlay, and Ryan Gerard at 10-under. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
For Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
Don't let that team stand in the way.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grab Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3. Yeah!
This is the Buckeye Show.
Off and rolling on a near football Friday. I am Brandon Beam hanging out with our guy, freshly back from Big Ten Media Days in Chicago, the Murph Dog, Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts, Big Mo behind the glass this evening. Patrick, happy Friday to you, my friend. We have officially made it to the weekend. Who's headlining in Lollapalooza tonight, buddy? Good to talk to you on this Friday.
I have no idea, but I learned last night that you can watch it all on Hulu, so being across the street from it didn't matter. I could watch it from anywhere. Yeah, you said Friday, and it took me a second to remember that it is Friday, because we're now in the point of the summer where football is kicking off, and I have no idea what day of the week it is. So yeah, I guess we're almost to the weekend.
We're nearing it. We're getting close. Ohio State starts camp next Thursday, so we are T-minus 6 days away from the Buckeyes getting underway from fall camp, which we're all excited for. And also, I think we're 3 weeks away from the high school football season starting as well, which if you want to think that football season hasn't begun yet, 3-4 weeks away, whatever it is. I mean, we are barreling down. We are 1 day away from entering the month of August. And as soon as you get into August, Pat, you know this better than most people. Like all of a sudden you get through training camps, high school's going through two-a-days. I don't know that middle school's out there, you know, rocking and rolling. College is starting next week. The NFL's already been going for a couple of days now. Buddy, we have made it. Like the offseason is over. We are getting ready to turn the page. We have turned the page. The 2026 season is right on the horizon.
Yeah, Big Ten Media Days is always like, well, summer's over for those of us who cover these teams. I was talking to one of our other guys who covers a team I won't mention at 24/7 Sports. And
we'll mention them at 6:46.
Okay, sounds good. And he was like, yeah, this time of year, like, it's always great. You know, football's almost here. But it's like you get to media days and it's just whatever day your team is on that you cover, it's just like nonstop. And it's just like a hard reminder of, all right, it's time to work. Like, mm-hmm. Not that we don't do anything in the off season. Like, we still have to produce content as we do here, but it's just like, okay, we're back.
Listen, we stretch content, you know, we have talked about, and Austin and I were talking about this last night a little bit, Pat, the iterations of the offensive line, the combinations, what's that going to look like? You know, some of the guys who could stand out on this Ohio State defensive line, wide receivers who could make their way into the lineup, running back combos, right? Like the backup quarterbacks, who's going to be the safeties? What's that going to look like without Caleb Downs? Uh-oh, cornerbacks. How are you going to do that? You're losing Sonny Styles. You're losing Arvell Reese, Tyleek Williams. And why am I blanking? Tyleek Williams and who also got drafted for the Buckeyes a couple of years ago?
Ty Hamilton. By the Rams.
Yes, that is correct. Rams guy. Have been holding down the middle. What does that look like from the defensive front? Defensive edges. Where's that going to be? Like, we've covered everything.
We've done it all.
We've covered everything since the end of the Ohio State season, the transfer portal, right? I mean, that came and went. You had spring ball, and then you kind of got into these mini OTAs that they've been going through. June was spent mostly on recruiting, but now we are on the doorstep officially with Big Ten Media Days, now in the past, getting to football and actually being able to talk about X's and O's and what you're seeing with your own eyeballs. That is refreshing for me instead of doing the speculating, talking about, you know, hypothesizing, well, if this happens, then this is going to happen. Like, let those players into the field, let me watch, and let me just watch some football, man. I'm ready for it.
Yes, and I think the Buckeyes are ready for it. I think you got that sense at Big Ten Media Days. Like, there's been a lot of talking, right? Since that Miami game, you know, yeah, you had spring practice and you had those OTAs, as you mentioned, but I think they want to get back out there. Like, it's always fun to start fall camp, and we'll get to the point in fall camp where they want to hit somebody else than their own teammates.
Quickly, but, probably.
Yes, but right now, like, I think these guys just want to be back out on the field doing football things. You know, a few days in, you'll get pads on, like, all that are like benchmarks to getting to the games and the actual season. And I think they're pretty juiced up for that coming here pretty quickly.
I would be too, right? I mean, you obviously talk about a lot of the stuff that has gone on during the offseason. We've covered it all here on the Buckeye Show, but just to think everything, you know, the way that last season ended for Ohio State, you lose in the Big Ten championship game to Indiana, the eventual national champions in Miami, or in Indiana, the groundswell that has kind of taken over Indiana football, and also the groundswell that took over Miami, right? They defeated Ohio State. They went on a nice little run, got beat by Indiana in the college football playoff national championship. We've broken down those games, I mean, 100 different ways. Well, if Ohio State would have played this way, if Miami wouldn't have done this, what would have happened? You know, would it have looked a little bit different without that pick six? Fernando Mendoza, if he doesn't pop back out of that hit against Caden Curry, play number one of the game. Well, yeah. How does that look for Indiana? Are we talking about them kind of with the same pomp and circumstances we are? It doesn't matter. Like, it's time to shut the book, you know, when practice begins next week. Last year is officially done, and I think all those coaches, 18 of them that took the podium at Big Ten Media Days, they've been well past that. The book has been shut on last year for a long time for those guys.
Yeah, and the funny thing about Big Ten Media Days, and Ryan Day even made a joke about this during his time on the stage, was like, everyone's so optimistic. Like, you know, PJ Fleck just picking a random coach that
he was a pistol.
Yeah, well, and just, I mean, it's always the optimism. Maryland, like, they've got it figured out now. It's like, well,
USC, Lincoln, like, Riley's got it figured out.
Well, at least Lincoln Riley had a good season, you know, relatively good season last year. Like, there was a lot of jokes made at Big Ten Media Days that, okay, it was good to see Mike Loxley. This is probably the last time we'll see him at this. You know, just because, I mean, that program has gone downhill, but everybody's optimistic. And that's why it's fun, right? Because this time of year, you even if you are a Minnesota fan, who's probably not a team that's going to contend for the college football playoff, but there's reasons to be optimistic about your team. And so every coach gets up there and says all the positive things. You sort of have to siphon through, okay, this is real good, as you like to say, real good and fake good.
Yeah.
What's real, what's not there. And
Pedri and Gavi. It's a real, yes. Real good versus fake good.
Right.
Situation.
I can never remember which is which.
Gavi, real good. Okay. Pedri, fake good.
Yes. So that's always an interesting thing at Big Ten Media Days. And it is always good to see the, you know, the other team's players as well, and like what they think of the conference. And, you know, there's just guys that we don't talk to very often. We talked to Julian and Jalen and Jeremiah, you know, plenty over the last couple of years. So like, to talk to some of these other guys and get different perspectives on things is always fun.
What did you most take away? Not necessarily from an Ohio State perspective, Pat, but was there anything that stood out to you from a Big Ten perspective as a whole, or from one coach, one player that you got to chop it up with?
Well, I'm sure you guys have already talked about this week, but just the sort of back and forth that's now going on between the Big Ten and the SEC, mm-hmm. like, that was just so in everyone's face, because a week ago, the SEC, were they're making their case.
Tony Petitti got tired of it.
Yeah, he did. But every coach, I think, that came out made some kind of statement. Probably the most emphatic by Kurt Cignetti of Indiana.
Shortly followed by Brett Bielema.
Well, yeah, 2000, it's not 2005 anymore, yeah. Whatever he said.
But Pat, like, Kurt Bielema.
Kurt, hey, Siegel. That's our guy on this show, Mo.
I'm just saying. Fat Bielema.
Kurt Cignetti's last comments were...
He was the last to go, correct?
He was the last to go. We were playing national champion, it makes sense. Yep. But his last comments as he leaves the stage, and then he immediately has to go to the podium, which I hate when they do that, but... His last comments were, you know, we're from the Midwest. We don't cry when things don't go wrong, like all that. And it's like, well,
make no stinking excuses.
Yeah, just a veiled shot at the SEC. So that, and then sticking on the Indiana train, the podium. So basically they set up these like tables that are on risers, and then they've got some chairs in front of
them. You have to be quiet when the Big Ten Network is doing their show?
No, which you probably should have, because the way they set it up was all...
We've heard about it.
Yeah. But Kurt Cignetti... I don't know if I've ever seen more people around a coach.
Seriously.
And I've seen Ryan Day, Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh. Like, this was, it was just a reminder to me of what Indiana accomplished last year, really the last two seasons, and like what this guy has done for a program that was so far. I mean, they were, we've talked about this, they were the worst program in college football record wise
history.
That now goes to, do you know who?
Kansas.
Northwestern.
Ooh.
Yeah, the losingest program in college football based on the record. But to turn it around the way they did.
That's a tough title to hold.
It is, yeah. But you get the money, you get the right coach.
Get a new field?
Yeah. Yeah. They've basically got a soccer stadium now for their football team.
It looks awesome.
It does. It just looks like a soccer stadium, which is fine. Like they don't need a huge stadium. But yeah, so the Indiana thing, it just, I know, you know, after they won, like I remember reflecting on back and just being like, this is insane that Indiana football just won a national championship. But this was a reminder again of like, I mean, to even last year, there were still only a few people, you know, a handful of people that don't cover Indiana that went to talk to Kurt Cignetti. Everybody, because he was going the same time as Bryce Underwood, and Bryce Underwood had a crowd.
And he put that as fire into the belly of the beast.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a reminder of just what they accomplished, and it'll be interesting to see if they can carry it over for a third straight year.
We've got a great show lined up for you here tonight. Coming up bottom of the hour at 6:30, we'll do some Beers and Buckeyes with Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts. He's going to join us here in a little bit. We'll get to some Kyle Whittingham comments coming up at 6:46, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. Love him, hate him, respect him. Where does the rivalry rank? We'll get into that. We'll get into the Pulse at 7 o'clock. Some Thad Mata sound. He joined T-Bone and Tyvus a little bit earlier. And then I had a chance to check in with Bill Bender of the Sporting News a little bit earlier in the day.
Can't believe you did that without me.
Well, it was early. Yeah. It was early in the day. Plus, he was going to a professional lacrosse game.
Ooh, I love Bill.
Tonight. So we had to do that earlier in the day. So we're going to be joined by him coming up here at 7:30. For now, though, what were your biggest takeaways from Big Ten Media Days? Also, what did Ryan Day have to say the final time we hear from him before next Thursday's practice? That's next. It's the Buckeye Show on the
fans of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite $5 Pizza Pals from Donato's.com today. More toppings, more flavor, more fun. Donato's, gotta love more.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family's story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb. Coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Rare banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Relax and let Kroger Pickup handle your grocery shopping this week. We start with only the freshest items, then choose your favorites. Carefully pack everything up and load it right into your trunk so you can feel confident it's what you ordered. Fresh groceries your way with Kroger Pickup and Delivery. And right now, you can save $20 on your first pickup or delivery order. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Modern Office Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer, can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at townwithane.properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Hello, it's Tom.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick.
Saturday, we're at the Ohio State Golf Club to preview the upcoming seasons with men's coach Jay Mosley and women's coach Lisa Strom.
Tita Green with Skip Mossick, Saturday mornings at 9 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Moisture increases across central Ohio this weekend with a storm system moving in. Overnight tonight, increasing clouds across central Ohio, low temps around 70 degrees. On Saturday, slight chance of a couple showers early, then a 60% chance of rain and storms. Popping up in the afternoon, the high 79. The chance of rain and storms on Sunday is 50% and the high 80. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
All Buckeyes, all the time. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts with us tonight. Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts, he's going to join us here in 12 minutes, coming up here at the bottom of the hour at 6:30. Do want to let you know that we here on The Buckeye Show, brought to you by our good friends over at CareSource. Pat, we kind of talked about it, from a holistic point of view, you know, Big Ten and your observation from media days. Let's get into a Buckeye perspective for you. Anything stand out? Was there anything that was revealed to you that you were interested going in that you found out, or was it kind of steady Eddie from the Buckeyes and their representatives?
It was pretty steady. I mean, I think, you know, Jeremiah Smith, speaking of in the last segment, someone who draws a crowd, he certainly does. And he always seems to have some little, like, historical anecdote about his own career, like talking about how he grew up an Alabama fan, but they didn't start recruiting him and
whatnot. Yeah, we talked about that last night.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, it was in the spring when he mentioned, you know, a certain team didn't name them, came after him to get in the transfer portal.
I think we all know.
Yeah, we do. It was Miami.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting to figure out what nugget is Jeremiah going to drop. So he's from a guy who doesn't say a ton, like he's not the most talkative guy. Like there usually tends to be some pretty good stuff out there. Sounds like he's pretty confident in Devin McEwen in particular, mm-hmm. out of that receiver room.
Also, Brock Boyd. He said, yeah. I was surprised by Brock Boyd and what he brought in.
Yeah. Well, look, I think everyone was a little surprised by what he brought in, but I think with the way Brian Hartline recruited him, maybe we shouldn't have been. Like, that was a guy they went after pretty hard.
Turn on his high school tape.
Yeah, I mean, very good. In really good competition in Texas down there. I thought it was interesting when Ryan Day said he was asked about how long he wants to go into camp to figuring out the offensive line configuration. And usually that's the question you hear when there's a new starting quarterback on the horizon. How long can that competition go? And I expected Ryan to sidestep that, but he said, you know, 6-7 practices, you'd like to have it kind of set, which is pretty early in camp, but I guess you want that group together for as many snaps as possible, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, we've been talking about that this week and really the entire offseason and what the iterations and combinations are going to look like for Ohio State. The interesting thing, listening to Ryan Day up at the podium, and, you know, I wasn't in Chicago, so I didn't get to talk to him during that 45-minute availability that he had kind of during that mini presser when he had his availability. But he made sure to name everybody who we have named that could possibly be a starter during his podium segment. He's like, you know, all these different guys, they bring strengths and we're going to figure it out on the fly. But I think, you know, from not even a Ryan Day perspective and a Julian Sand perspective, you want to get that offensive line down, and I've said this the last couple of shows. You want to make sure that those offensive linemen have enough snaps together, as you had mentioned. You want them to be as tight as they possibly can. Maybe not necessarily for Ball State. I know that's a tune-up game, but on the road, nighttime, DKR Stadium, Austin, Texas, 7:30 kickoff, week 2 of the season. you want to make sure that your quarterback is not surprised by anything. So you want to give them the longest period of time that you can. Now, listen, if the starters aren't named and maybe there's one more competition going on at the guard spot or the tackle spot or whatever it may be for Ohio State, you know, during practice 8, 9, 10, I'm sure that will be fine. They want to have 4 or 5 of those spots, though, locked down to make sure those guys are on the same page, because the more your offensive line plays together, the better that they will be. Injuries, we don't know what can happen with the offensive line. You know, they always seem to pop up. Doesn't matter what season, and really for any team, Pat. But you want to make sure those guys are cohesive as possible once you get down to Austin, Texas, week 2 of the season.
Absolutely. And they need to be playing really good football, even in that first game. Now, I think the advantage that you have here is, say they go with the group that I think a lot of people think, which is Ian Moore at left tackle, Austin Saraveld at right guard. Okay, Austin's played right guard before.
Mm-hmm.
In a national championship game, right? Yeah. So you're not asking him to do too much. Like, it's just getting Ian Moore ready, getting him comfortable next to Luke Montgomery, like that type of stuff. Even if you keep Austin Saraveld at left tackle, he did that all last year. Did it at a high level.
He's
really
good at it.
And then, okay, so what are you, you're putting in Josh Padilla? He's played. You're putting in Gabe Van Sickle? He's played. So, like, while they need to figure it out in terms of who's going to play, like, there's been a decent amount of reps with these guys, and some a lot. And then you're playing next to experienced guys. Now, where it might get weird is, are you moving Philip Daniels around? And that's why I think that's like,
I think that's the kicker, right? Because we weren't really expecting that to be the case.
Yeah.
But then Ryan was talking about, all right, well, this could be a cross-training situation in which we find a different spot for Philip Daniels. And it's like, well, that was news, I think, to everybody, because you thought Philip Daniels had that right tackle spot nailed down. It was also a surprise to us last year that Philip Daniels was the starting right tackle over Ethan Onyanwu. And I thought for Philip Daniels playing, you know, as a starter at Ohio State for the first time coming from Minnesota, where we talked about him in the offseason, like, that's a good get. You know, maybe in a couple of years he can show up. That dude has got a nasty streak in him. I like him as a starting tackle, but again, I'm not in that building. You know, I'm not there every single day, but I like him as a player.
I agree. And I think he stays it right. Like, it just you don't want to overcomplicate it, right? Unless you have to. And like, but what is the situation where,
or unless someone else forces your hand.
Sure, but who is the other tackle? Like, Ian Moore, we know, is a guy who's made steps to start. Like, the other guys are pretty young, right? Like, it's, I mean, we saw it in the spring. Like, there wasn't a guy when Philip Daniels was out that stepped up and you were like, oh, okay, that's, I mean, you know, they're young, so you
problem
don't expect
solved.
It. Right.
Yeah.
So, and I don't, Philip Daniels was far from perfect last year, but to
yes,
your point,
was.
First year really starting, playing at Ohio State, which is, let's face it, different than playing at Minnesota. No offense meant.
I don't think they would take offense to
no.
that.
And so I just think it's, I think it would add more issues than it would help if you're trying to move him around, unless you have to for some reason.
Where are you at going into this year with the running back room? I know that Austin and I, we talked about that a lot last night when he got back from Big Ten Media Days. Where are you at going into this year with the RBs room? Again, didn't see Isaiah West, didn't see Bo Jackson really all of spring. I know that gave some chances to other players, including Jacoby Jackson, seventh year transfer from the University of Florida, who also has had his injury concerns earlier on in his career. Where are you at with him? Where are you at with Carlos Lachlan's squad?
I think there's a pretty high ceiling for this group, but I'm not sure what the floor is right now. Like, we saw freshman year Bo, we saw freshman year Isaiah West. You have Jacoby Jackson coming in, who's in his seventh year, has dealt with injuries. So, like, I think if Bo Jackson, if any of those three guys really hits, we've, you know, Bo obviously being a 1,000-yard rusher already, but you got to do it again, and you got to be the guy, right? And so I think it's a talented room. And I trust Carlos Lachlan to get the best out of these guys. But, I mean, think where we were talking a year ago about the two running backs.
Yeah.
And those guys ended up being backups, more or less.
Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah. And so this is an opportunity for especially the young guys. And by the young guys, I mean Bo and Isaiah, to really, like, cement themselves. Let's not forget, We all talked about it ad nauseum. They were going very hard after David Gabriel George, right?
As they should have
and
been.
And I'm not saying
he's
that
terrific.
That, yeah, sure. But like there have been terrific running backs every, you know, maybe not that level, but this was like someone they identify as like, we need to get this guy.
It was 2 years in the making.
Yeah.
That recruitment.
Now, is that just he's that good? Or is that the running back room is good, but it could be better if we have this elite guy? And
sure, that also wouldn't affect this year's roster.
No. Though. But I just think you could read into it as like, do we feel like this running back room is as good as it can be? I'm not, you know, this is not me saying anybody said that or anything like that. I'm just wondering a little bit if there maybe is, you know, some questions about it going in. But I do think the ceiling is high because I think you saw what Bo can do. Can he be more explosive? Can he get more touchdowns? Can Isaiah take that next step? We only really got kind of half a season.
I think certainly, yes, he can.
Yeah, and then what do some of the other guys, you know, Anthony Rogers, Turbo Rogers, Legend Bay, like what roles do they have?
Let me ask you a question on Legend Bay, and I think it's an interesting one. Outside of Jeremiah Smith, have you heard Ryan Day talk in a scope of a fresh incoming true freshman like he's talked about Legend Bay for anyone? Have you, I mean, you've been covering this team a long time, Pat. Yeah. You've been here during Ryan's entire career as a head coach. Have you heard him really gush or make any of the comparisons that that Ryan Day is drawing to Legend Bay right now?
No. And I think Ryan's reevaluated his his approach to talking about him sort of it.
But even at media days, here is exactly what Ryan, this is Ryan Day himself talking about Legend Bay.
Well, the talent is there for sure. Yeah. You can't deny that. But you know, he got hurt in the spring, so didn't get a chance to finish out and grow because, you know, he played quarterback in high school and now he's learning to play, you know, running back and a little bit of receiver. But there's more to it than just talent. Every day is an opportunity to build trust, and he's had a good summer. So there's no question, when you see the ball in his hand, he's going to stick out.
That's pretty big endorsement.
It is. It's not comparing him to Tyreek Hill.
Correct.
Which is what...
He's bogged it down a little
bit. And I think, to answer your question, no, I can't think of another true freshman. And this staff in general is usually pretty buttoned up about them, at least on the record, about the young players. Jeremiah, obviously, was the exception. But like...
Well, they didn't need to be buttoned up.
No, right.
We saw that.
Remember the recruitment of Legend Bay. Now, it wasn't Ryan at the podium knees buckled to make sure that he signed like it was with Jeremiah. But
wild situation.
The Legend, like, they were really going after this kid. They believe he's really good. And, you know, what does that role look like? I think that fall camp will help determine that and then into the season. But he can certainly do some things and add something different to this group.
We're going
to
check in with our guy, Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts. He was also with Pat at Big Ten Media Days this week. We're going to do that coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Are we drinking the scarlet and gray Kool-Aid? You bet we are. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hey, coming up tomorrow, 10 to 1, Fan Sports Saturday. Tito and our guy, Jacob Reimer. It'll be very, very fun. Looking forward to that. Right now, we head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Checking with our guy. He is a Bucknuts. He is Steve Hellwagon. Steve, thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. Where did you find yourself in the Lollapalooza madness in Chicago this week, Steve?
Well, thankfully, I got out ahead of the mad rush because I was on a flight Thursday morning. I did not go to the Thursday session with the Big Ten. And the people were showing up. They were actually showing up Wednesday night. So it was getting busy there with music fans and Lollapalooza people. And, you know, I've never been to it. I guess it's something maybe one day to go to if you're a big music fan, because they have all kinds of different acts. But for me, I'm glad I got out of there ahead of the mad rush of folks coming to the shows.
Let me ask you one more question on Lollapalooza. Here were the headliners. Thursday, Lord John Summit. Friday, Charlie XCX and the Smashing Pumpkins. Tomorrow, Olivia Dean and Jenny. Sunday, Tate McRae and the XX. How many of those have you heard of, Steve?
Oh, Lord, of course.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tate McRae, obviously, she's famous now. Smashing Pumpkins, my guy Billy Corgan, who's a big wrestling promoter now.
Yep.
But yeah, there's three right there. I don't know. At least those three.
So. I was only at four, Steve. So I'm not much ahead of you, buddy.
Yeah. I think the kids are like Charlie XXXX or whatever. I don't know. Murph probably knows all these acts. He's big on the scene.
I know a couple, but, I did walk out of the hotel before when I went to get my Uber, and, it was madness out on Michigan Avenue, and I've been to Lollapalooza,
yeah.
And I was still like, oh wow, this is a lot. And I guess there's a big card show in Chicago too, like trading cards.
Oh geez.
So
yeah, like a Comic-Con type thing. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot going on. Steve, if you had to pick one or two things that you heard from anyone, but maybe Ohio State specific at media days, what were a couple things that stood out to you?
Well, I think, first of all, everything, and I don't want to put everything on these two players' shoulders, but a lot of what's going to happen with Ohio State and how good Ohio State is going to be in 2026 is wrapped around how well Julian Sain plays at quarterback and how many amazing plays Jeremiah Smith makes at wide receiver. And everything about those two guys was all systems go. So everything you heard was positive. And, you know, this was the 32nd year I've been to this event. And 1995 was my first year. And I sat at a table with Eddie George. We didn't have podiums back then. They just imagine you had a future Heisman Trophy winner sitting at a table with 10 chairs around it. But, you know, he wasn't quite Eddie George just yet when that was going on. He'd only rushed for 1,400 yards the year before as a junior, and I looked him in the eye because they'd invited us to watch him work out a few times in the summer, and these guys were like blowing it out, you know, all summer long. You could tell how hard they were working, and I looked at him, you know, this is like August the 1st, we're there, and I said, Eddie, is there anything more you could have done to prepare for this season? And he looked me in the eye and said, no, there's nothing more I could have possibly done to get ready for this season. And that's kind of the same feeling I got talking to those guys, that they were put in leadership positions. They were told, you know, you've got to lead these guys. The best players on the team have to be the hardest workers. And they embraced it. And I think that, you know, for what you need to know about those two guys, it seems like they are, as I said, all systems go and ready to have their best year yet, which that only bodes well for Ohio State.
I feel like when I was in college, Steve, when I went to Big Ten Media Days covering the Buckeyes for Scarlet and Gray Sports Radio, which a grand total of four people maybe listened to during the entire season, we also had like tables. So it's not that far removed that they did like the table coverage instead of the podiums.
Yeah, the podiums are nice. I think it spreads out. And then you have, like Ryan Day, you have like 100 people crowded around his podium, and it's probably better than him sitting at a table with 10 seats, where that's how it used to be. I mean, you know, Lloyd Carr and John Cooper and all those coaches, Tressel, would sit at a round table, and people were standing three deep with their, you know, 25 recorders on the desk or on the table trying to record what they're saying. But, yeah, this makes it a little more comfortable, I think, for everybody.
Steve, from a conference perspective, outside of the Ohio State, you know, stories that you've been covering all offseason and getting to talk to these guys in the last few days, what else stood out to you? Any teams, any coaches, any players that stood out to you that you got to talk with during Big Ten Media Days in Chicago this week?
Yeah, I'll hit some bullet points. Tony Petitti on the first day, the commissioner, said that they would do away with the Big Ten championship game if it went to 24 teams. And I think that that is not something anybody had ever really stipulated or said out loud before. And I think that that's necessary because they would need the first weekend of December right after the season ends to begin the first round of the playoffs so that it can stay on schedule, you know, as it is now to have the quarterfinals January the 1st and semifinals and championship game in January, just so that schedule would kind of stay the same. So that first weekend in December would be X number of playoff games. I think beyond that, also I asked him, it kind of the playoff talk about expansion is all written like it's SEC wants to keep it nearly status quo and the Big Ten wants it to go 24. And he said there is a lot of collaboration. They're working on it, trying to reach common ground. And, you know, sounds like they're more partners than enemies, adversaries in the whole thing. And it's just the numbers have to work out. And finding multiple TV partners may be the answer to get it to all work out. So I guess keep our eyes and ears on that. In terms of the teams, Bob Chesney, very impressive with UCLA coming off. He's kind of the next Cignetti, you know, coming off of James Madison. And
he didn't tell us where L.A. was located, so that was a good start.
No, or like, was it Deshaun Foster, I think was the previous coach, said that, you know, Los Angeles, where USC is also there. You know, he had to point that out. Like, I'm sure that the chancellor and the AD at USC or UCLA were glad he pointed out where the competition is as well. But no mistakes like that for Chesney. He's polished. Let's see what else. Fitzgerald sounds like he's energized and wants to, you know, basically rewrite his legacy. He went out on a real sour note at Northwestern.
And weird to see him in a green tie, was it not?
Really
like
was.
I was, baffled by that.
And not seeing go Cats at the end, you know. He had to say go green, you know. Which is a total departure. But what's weird to me was that whole thing unfolded, and it sounded like it was open and shut, that he and the coaches knew all about that hazing. But I guess as more truth came out on it, he was somewhat exonerated in that whole episode and probably shouldn't have lost his job over it. So because now he is, you know, at Michigan State 3 years later. And boy, oh boy, you know, you think about Purdue and Michigan State, the bottom of this league. I just wonder in this new unlimited salary cap regime that we're in, are they going to be able to raise the money it takes to compete with the big boys? And I haven't seen it. You know, in 2 years, their rosters have been woefully outmanned. And I don't think Purdue has won a game in the Big Ten since beating Indiana at the end of the 2023 season. Yeah. So, you know, you got some teams in this league that they better get on it, raising some cash, because if not, they're going to get left behind and potentially relegated. I mean, you know, how many years are the big boys going to want to, you know, hold up Purdue and Michigan State, and UCLA, and some of these other programs? Maryland, I'm looking at you, and Rutgers, and you know, how long are they going to keep them around if it's 45-0 every time they play?
They did, in fact, go 0-9 in the Big Ten these last 2 years.
Yuck.
Steve, yeah. Not necessarily a Media Days question, but if you were asked to give your vote for captains and Blocko for this year, who would be the guys you would do, knowing that you've got two captains coming back, and I presume they will remain captains in Brandon Ennis and Austin Saraville?
That's a great question. I guess Ennis could be the Blocko, or Kenyatta Jackson, probably one of those two players. Jackson is a fifth-year player, which is kind of interesting. He decided to come back for his last year, and I think that he could potentially have a shot at that. But Ennis, obviously coming back as a captain, Saraville, those two guys, I think, man, we're getting a little offense heavy, but I think both Sayan and Smith deserve it. You can make that case. And then certainly Jackson on defense. Do you go with four on offense and only one or two on defense? I don't know. But or just make Ennis the Blocko and other people the captains. I don't know. But, yeah, you got plenty of good leadership. And, again, you know, kind of like the 2024 team, you've got some upperclassmen that are there because you know, last year didn't end well in some regards, and they want to atone for that. And I think there's an excitement around the start of this season to see whether this Ohio State team is, you know, I hate to say atone for last year because it's a different team, but make up for what happened at the end of last year and get back to the Final Four and get back to the championship game where they should be.
Steve.
And somebody pointed out they haven't won the Big Ten, what, since 2019,
correct.
And this is the longest drought since 87 to 92. And man, I hadn't even thought about that. So yeah, it's kind of crazy in that regard too, to be so successful and not win the conference.
At least in a full season, I think 2019, 2020, I think they got the rule changed and all that weirdness with the Michael Penix extension touchdown against Penn State and all that weirdness. Yeah. But you know what, Steve, that is in the past. So I agree with you. 2019 was the last year. Buddy, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us here this evening. Have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy training camp next week, and I'm sure we'll check in with you again here down the road, all right?
Yeah, anytime, guys. We'll talk to you later.
There you go. Steve Hellwagon of Bucknuts with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I know we think it's impossible, but I do think we found something that is common between Ohio State and Michigan fans. We'll get into that coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the
Fan. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222 or visit them online at thewaterworks.com, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Your name.
Dave. Hi, radio listener. Are you having a stressful day? Do you want to unwind before you go home to your annoying family? Good news. You can spend time with our annoying family, Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
The best damn radio show in the land. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight, for watching. Always appreciate you. By the way, Buckeye training camp start next week. Buckeye fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us August 6th through the 8th at the Woody over at Ohio State Football Training Camp, presented by Safe Light and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players, and experience the start of a new season up close. Tickets are limited and going fast. $48 general admission, or upgrade to VIP shaded seating, just like Patrick Murphy's going to have. Refreshments and more. Secure your spots today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. What'd you think of Kyle Whittingham's presser, Pat? You were there. You were in attendance.
That was, yes. Look, I think Kyle Whittingham is the ultimate, like, good guy. Like, I think he'd be great to have as a buddy. He's probably a guy who likes to have a couple beers, hang out. Like, I doubt he's too much of an arguer. Like, he just seems solid dude.
He's the antithesis of what Michigan has been for the last...
Yes, that's a really good way to put it.
Several years.
Yes. So, I think that that worked really well at Utah. Can that work?
I don't know.
At Michigan. Now, I would say... these two aren't similar because Ryan Day did not have the same experience. Like, Ryan is similar, right? Like, seems like a very just normal guy. You'd hang out with him. Obviously, he became the head coach at Ohio State. That changed everything in his life. Yep. But, like, just a dude. And he has made it work. But I don't know if it always works that way. So, I'll be very interested to see, like, hearing him talk, really. I remember at that Rose Bowl, the press conference he did with Ryan Day. Like, I got that same impression. But can you make it work at Michigan where you're under spotlight, scrutiny, like all this? It's a whole
Utah, great football program. Kyle Whittingham, a major reason why it has consistently been a very, very good football program over the last 20 years. Now, we could look at Urban and his tenure there and saying it brought it up to that level. Kyle Whittingham maybe didn't get it to that level, but held it steady and has been a great football program. But I understand what you're saying. Like, I think Kyle Whittingham is a terrific football coach, and I would love to have a beer with Kyle Whittingham. Right. He seems like one of those guys. But can you take it from Utah and bring it to Ann Arbor, where their expectations are much, much different than what they are over there?
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing is, well, there's obviously the comments about the rivalry, and
which we'll get to. I will play that here in a second.
Yes, but there's also just, like, how long is he even planning on being there, right? And I think that...
Well, the whole exit from Utah was weird.
Yes, because, like, he didn't retire.
He didn't retire, but Utah, like, they basically sent out, like, a whole social media thing and a, you know, an email. It's like, we thank Kyle Whittingham for all of his years of service, and, you know, we are in great gratitude, and, you know, we love him and everything that he's done. And then he came out basically the next day, he's like, I didn't leave. Like, this wasn't my choosing. So it was just everything was worded kind of weird. It was a strange exit. And then I think Michigan backdoored themselves into a really good football coach.
Sure, yeah.
But again, can you take it from Utah and live up to the expectations of which Michigan fans have? I don't know. The reason why I say Ohio State and Michigan fans are agreeing on something is because I think they both dislike this in what he said during Big Ten Media Day.
I don't know what that dynamic was. I know it. I thought Ryan was a pretty good guy when I met with him, or not met with him, but interacted with him in the Rose Bowl. And based on what, again, Urban has told me about it, I just think that a rivalry can be intense and emotional without the hatred factor. I don't think there's any place for that personally. I think Ryan Day's a good person. And to sit here and say, I hate Ryan Day, I'd be making crap up, because that's not true.
I agree with everything he's saying, but you can't say it into a microphone. In your first year as Michigan coach, you can't say there's no hatred in the rivalry. We have how many years that game has been played?
It's going to be the 122nd.
We have 122 years of examples of hatred in that game. And when Kyle Whittingham said that, I'm like, you cannot say that. And Michigan fans are saying the exact same thing. So alas, I think Ohio State Michigan fans agree on one thing. You can't go into that game without hatred. It is pure disdain for each other.
Nobody is saying that you have to hate the coach.
Of
Nobody's
course.
Saying that you can't respect. Like, I hate Michigan as a team, as a whole, just because I can't stand. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Buckeye. But I respect what they've done in the past. I don't always respect the
Minus
ways
some
they've
years.
Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't always respect the ways they've done it. I don't hate Kyle Whittingham. In fact, I think he's an excellent coach.
I do too.
The more I hear him talk, I really worry about the direction, because I think in this rivalry especially, but just the way Michigan is built, you have to have some anger. You have to have some hatred. And especially in the rivalry, and it just seems like this is taking another step back. And maybe it's because they felt like they had to go so far from what they had because it ended so badly that this was the best option.
I think if you would have asked Ryan Day when he took over as quarterback's coach, you know, when he first joined Ohio State and then got the bump up to offense coordinator and ultimately after the 2018 season, do you hate Michigan? I don't know if he would have answered yes, but I think certainly by now the answer 100% would be yes.
Well, and he came in and worked with Urban.
Yeah.
And that's what Kyle Whittingham doesn't have, is he has Urban on the outside. And I think he's kind of in a no-win situation here because, first of all, he is who he is. And I think he answered
the
question.
Come out and say, hate him with every blood and bones, with every pound in my body.
I just think he
never hated a program more.
I just think he answered the question honestly.
He did.
And he's heard about it from Urban, but he's never worked with Urban in this. So Ryan got to see it every day and how Urban approached that game. So I think that changed it. And then obviously, born on third base. And you know, I think Ryan's real introduction to the rivalry was, oh, I don't like that guy standing across from me. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing. Whereas Kyle Whittingham, well,
that can take up a lot of brain space and make you hate everything about
sure.
him.
And I think it'll be interesting this year because I do think Ryan likes Kyle Whittingham, like how this will all play out. But it will be strange, I think, in the week leading up to it, because you may not have the veiled shots and stuff that don't always come, but in the last several years, there's usually like one quote from one of the coaches about that you can kind of read into what they're saying, right? Maybe sometimes those happen.
I don't
more
think
afterwards.
Ryan's going to give it to you.
No, and he's usually pretty good about it, but like he made it very clear after the game this year, like this was for everything that's happened, right? Yeah. And so I think it'll feel a little now, like once you get to the game, it's the game, right? And I think sure. that's what Kyle Whittingham was saying. Like, I don't have to hate them to understand rivalries in football and how big this is.
But for this particular game, I think you do.
I agree.
I think you have to understand it, that it's almost like a blood pact.
See, I feel like the only way he could have made it worse for the Michigan fans is if he had said, well, you know, I'm used to rivalries. I mean, we had a big rivalry with BYU.
Which is a great rivalry.
It's a great rivalry, but it's
is
nothing.
A terrific, in the college landscape, like those two teams dislike each other at a very big level. But it is nothing that you're walking into in the last week in November.
Right. And that's kind of my point of like, he's stepping it up a level. And again, to him, because we don't know how long he's going to be there, like he feels like a stopgap guy before they hire the next younger-ish guy. Does he even need to win these games? Like, if he's there 2-3 years and goes 0-3, like,
it's
does that...
fine by me if he doesn't.
You know, we've proven you can make the playoff and not win that game. So, potentially, he could still do that, though I'm not sure they're that level this year. And so, I just don't know... I think if he was coming in as a guy who still had something to prove in his career and like, this is my first really big job, or even like Urban did, then like maybe it's...
Well, Urban did it in quite the significant fashion.
Yeah, I just mean like this just feels to me like he's a guy who's like, I'm going to go coach Michigan for 3 or 4 years. It's going to be a good time. Give me a chance to compete on the highest level and then I'm out. And so like, does this rivalry ever really matter to him? And how does that impact things for Michigan?
I just think both Ohio State and Michigan fans, when they heard that, went, ugh.
I agree. I think that was a good way to...
Don't say that.
Yeah. It was odd listening to him,
to
be honest.
It was also odd watching, and it was odd hearing, and it's odd reading. When I was even reading it in print, I'm like, I don't like that for you. I think that's going to end up poorly. Hey, this one team in the Big Ten must take a step forward if they want to compete. That's in the Pulse coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the
Fan. That Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint. And the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Cancer. For some, it's one of life's fiercest foes. But not at the James. While cancer hides, we hunt. As a team like no other. Giving patients access to the most advanced treatment options and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, you have cancer, you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
The future of recycling is now at Rumpke Waste and Recycling. The recycling leader has opened North America's largest, most technologically advanced recycling center right here in Central Ohio. This one-of-a-kind facility features interactive displays, educational opportunities, and the ability to process over 60 tons of recycled material per hour. Rumpke is committed to recycling and sustainability efforts. And for more than 90 years, Rumpke has worked to make sure the items you place in your recycling bin get used again. Visit Rumpke.com to learn how you can team with Rumpke to put less trash in our landfills and more of it to good use.
As America's largest custom home builder, Schumacher Homes believes a top-quality home should be affordable for everyone in the Buckeye State. We work with the leading architects to bring you the latest in design, and then you have the ability to make changes. Not just selecting finishes, but moving walls, adding rooms, literally customizing anything from the ground up. It's a misconception that custom homes have to be expensive. We work within your budget to build an amazing home on your land. Visit SchumacherHomes.com or any of our 9 Ohio locations.
Hey, what's up? It's Tom today.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good evening. I'm Eric Mosley. Jake Mangum hit a solo home run in the top of the second to break a 2-2 tie with the Reds. Pittsburgh is up 3-2 currently in the top of the third. You can listen to all the action right here on The Fan after the Buckeye Show. Arizona travels to Cleveland for a 3-game series with the Guards. Cleveland, who are 4-6 in their last 10 games since Tanner Bibee did the bump, to face the Diamondbacks' Mitch Brat. Game time is at 7:10. One final from earlier today, the Yankees topped the Cubs 2-0. CBS Sports announced today that they have placed NFL analyst Tony Romo on leave until further notice, following his arrest last week on suspicion of driving under the influence. And in the second round of the Rocket Classic in Detroit, there's a 3-way tie for the lead between Cam Young, Patrick Cantlay, and Patrick Fishburne at 10-under. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Football Pulse on the Buckeye Show.
Sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Hour number two of the program for us here on this football-ish Friday. 6 days away from Buckeyes training camp beginning. We have Big Ten Media Days this past week. What are you doing this weekend? Because it's basically the last one until football starts, Pat. You got anything planned, or are you just kicking it?
I don't have anything in particular planned. The crew play away, so I will watch that, but there's not a crew game to attend.
Do you hate Inter Miami?
That's an interesting topic.
I know it is.
I don't hate any.
Max Darfson leaving?
Max Darfson's, he's gone.
Yeah. Is it official?
It's not official.
But he gone.
He is not playing against Inter Miami. All right, I'll tell you that.
Nicole, or you know, television's Nicole Sheeran was texting me today. It's like, hey, this is something to keep an eye on. I'm like, he's been gone since the World Cup even began.
I don't know. I think these conversations really heated up this week.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I mean, there's been interest for 2 years from Middlesbrough, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Middlesbrough.
Yes. Home of now 3 players who have played for the crew.
Who is the other one?
Sebastian Berhalter.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about Sebby.
Yeah. They remember the dance they did, him and Aiden Morse?
I don't remember that.
They had a dance on TikTok. That
like
was
2019? Was that before COVID?
Yeah, it was to a Taylor Swift song, and when Middlesbrough announced it, it was like a chair with a U.S. flag over it, and they used the same Taylor Swift song.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're leaning into it.
Yeah, she texted me. She was like, any chance that he plays in this game tomorrow? I said, no.
Yeah.
Even if it's not officially announced, there's no way that he plays.
I asked just to double check.
Maybe if he gets visa issues like backed up a little bit, they'll like give him a send off on Tuesday during the.
Yeah, they might bring him out. They brought Aiden out before.
I know they did.
Yeah. But so they might do that if he's still around. But yeah, they're not risking him getting hurt or anything.
No chance. So that's what you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll watch that. I would like to see the new Spider-Man movie. I still would like to see what's it called that we're talking about earlier?
The Odyssey.
I've not seen that yet. So
have you heard of the Iliad? That's gonna be out in theaters in 5 years.
Yeah. But maybe I'll do that. Sarah is volunteering at Pelotonia tomorrow.
Ooh.
So she has to get up at like 6:30 in the morning.
Where's
so
she at? I know that's it's a rather large race.
Kenyon College, I believe.
That sounds right.
Is where she's posted up. So she'll be there most of the day. So I'll have to keep myself out of trouble.
I don't know. I don't know. You can come over to our house. That'll keep you out of trouble.
That would keep me out of trouble.
Yeah,
two kids.
Be chasing children. Yeah. I mean, you could do that at home, right?
No, Pat doesn't. Pat doesn't like kids. He doesn't even like them, though.
Wow.
He doesn't even like them.
I just don't want them.
That's okay.
Some other people's kids are fine. It's like small doses is all right.
See, I like my own kids. Don't want to deal with anybody else's.
I agree.
Yeah.
After being around a lot of kids this week, my own is enough to deal with.
Yeah. I love my own, but other kids, not my favorite.
Mo, not at all. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, we've got a little bit on Sam Levitt. You guys remember him? He was at Arizona State. Took him to Kenny Dillingham. Yeah. Took him to the playoffs a couple years ago.
Cam Scatabo going crazy in that game.
He wasn't doing backflips then, was he? Probably was. That's probably where those decisions went bad for him. But he hasn't really talked much about his decision to transfer from Arizona State to LSU.
I think this is the first time anyone has heard from Sam Levitt since he's transferred.
Yeah. And so what Sam said, he said, leaving ASU, I had a comfortable situation. Walking in the building, that's all my guys. Built great relationships, won a lot of games there. But I wanted to do something a little different. It truly just is a different situation. You talk about being a pro, trying to become the best version of yourself. There's no other place to do it other than here. Now, us as Buckeye fans, we know that's not true. But does this put a dampening on ASU? Or does it, you know, and what he thought of ASU? Or does it really speak to LSU and what the opportunity is there?
I think both things can be true, Mo. I think that, you know, when you look at LSU over the last however many years, obviously, you know, that's a predominant national championship favorite going in to every year. We've talked about Lane Kiffin so much. I mean, he's built through the portal. He's done a really good job recruiting. At the same time, I think Kenny Dillingham is a heck of a head coach. I believe in what he's building out there with Arizona State. I think there's something to be said about what Sam Levitt talked about leaving, you know, walking in the building. We built great relationships, won a lot of games, wanted to do something a little bit different. I mean, those are all my guys, been playing with them for a long time. Like, that's not cheap to do. You know, Sam Levitt's played a lot of college football in his days. And so, like, they've retained the roster to be able to make him comfortable and to be able to compete at the highest level. So I think both things are true. Was Arizona State a little bit devastated by him walking out the door? Yeah, probably. But also at the same time, like going down to a new team, taking over LSU. Like, we know that that is going to be a very, very, very high pressured gig that he is walking into this offseason. So I think both things can be true. Which one is more true? I guess we'll find out, because LSU, again, does not have a very easy beginning to their schedule.
And I don't think anybody can really begrudge him for an opportunity. He wants to see if he can actually take it to that next level, too. Because let's face it, at ASU, you're not going to do it.
Correct. You're not going to be. I mean, look at what Joe Burrow did, right? I mean, I remember, Pat, the conversations that we were having surrounding Joe Burrow when he was ultimately getting in the transfer portal. Now, it was a lot different when Joe Burrow decided to transfer than what it is these guys now. But I remember doing a show with Bo Bishop, and we were talking about, like, well, what do you think? Is it Nebraska? The fact that you could bring them back? Or are you going to go down with Luke Fickell and maybe make some sort of run? And then it was just like, whoa, Joe Burrow decided to go down to LSU. And all the things that you read about him being a silent killer in training camp, not really saying anything, just doing everything, leading by example and his work ethic. Again, first year at LSU wasn't great. Second year at LSU, the best college football season of any quarterback we've ever seen. So I think Sam Levitt's probably trying to walk through those footsteps. Again, leaving Arizona State seems like an awesome place, seems like a great football program. We'll see if it works out for him. I don't know. Not a big believer in the Lane train for me, though.
Do you remember where Sam Levitt began his college career?
Where?
Michigan State.
Okay, interesting.
He was a pretty highly regarded quarterback coming out of high school. I was pulling him up. The number 2 quarterback in the 2023 class.
What about Rocky Lombardi?
Or sorry, number 18 quarterback.
You remember him for Michigan State?
I do remember Rocky Lombardi.
That guy. Yep. Had a hard time against Ohio State.
He did. I just think this is another reminder of just the weirdness of college football. Like, the fact that a guy like that can just up and leave, you know, this happens in pro sports, right? Your contracts are running down. Some people leave in free agency. You're disappointed as a fan, right? But you know it's coming. Like, the writing usually is on the wall that last year if the two teams aren't coming to an agreement. Like, this can happen anytime. You know, the guy can just decide, I'm done. You know, I don't want to be here anymore, whether it's, you know, end of the season. I mean, we saw with some of the guys at Ohio State last year that weren't playing a ton, basically took their red shirt, you know, and whatnot. So it just, it's a shame because even a program like Arizona State, which isn't the elite of the elite, to your point, LSU is going to be a whole different ballgame. But like, that shouldn't be a program that's developing players for other teams.
No.
Right. And, you know, I mean, I think people in MAC schools would argue like our players shouldn't be developmental for, you know, Ohio State.
That's what they've turned into.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ohio State has its second former OU tight end on the roster. And, like, I get it, right? Like, if you're good enough and they realize that and whatnot. But it just, something has to be done. I like that kids can leave at some point, but I don't think it should be, A, multiple times.
Yeah.
And, B, just, you know, because you feel like, hey, I get this opportunity at LSU.
It's a great opportunity for him, though.
It is, for
sure. We'll see if it pans out. Ultimately, their first game. Mo, what else you got for us tonight?
Well, Matt Rhule, he has a message for Nebraska entering this season. And apparently, it's breaking news. We have to take a step this year. I can't imagine that they weren't saying that last year, but this apparently is a new thing. Matt Rhule's stint at Nebraska has been, so far at least, promising. The Cornhuskers have posted back-to-back winning seasons for the first time since 2013-14, heading into his fourth year at the helm. While Rhule is taking this as a small victory, and he's taken in stride, the program hasn't yet returned to the standards set for itself thanks to its success in the 90s. Nebraska hasn't won 8-plus games in a season since 2016 and has not won 10-plus games in a season since 2012. And a major factor to these failures is Nebraska's failure to win in the month of November. I think it's hilarious that Matt Rhule is saying, well, we've got to make the turn now. You should have made the turn probably a couple years ago. Yeah.
When you had the best quarterback
exactly
they've ever had.
But I've talked about it on some other shows.
Out of high school. Scott Frost.
Yeah. I've talked about it on some other shows and stuff, but what is it that is missing from Nebraska? Because I think they are that traditional power that just has not been able to find a way. I mean, you look at so many of those decades where they were right there, and then the 90s, maybe the greatest college football team ever, when they won in, what was it, 95?
Came into the Big Ten, I think they were in a championship game.
I think they fired Frank Solich, and Frank Solich cursed them.
Well,
they shouldn't have done that.
He was a great coach. I really think he was a great coach.
He was terrific for them.
I wonder what it is that they need to do, because they've got the facilities. I know it's in the middle of nowhere.
That's, I think, the thing is, in today's college football, I don't know if they can be what Nebraska was. I think you can.
Can they be what Indiana is? That's the question.
Well, I think you can build it like Wisconsin and Iowa, and maybe because you have that history, elevate beyond that. But I think you need to be a developmental program who you have to retain your players, as we were just saying about an ASU. Like, people will leave Nebraska.
Which they didn't.
But also, leaving the Big 12 took them out of their recruiting territory, where they went to get a lot of their players. And I know they've always recruited nationally, but it'd be like if Ohio State went to the SEC, now all of a sudden, like, you're not in Ohio all the time, right? Or in the Midwest all the time. So I think that, I'm not going to say it was a mistake, but I think it certainly is something that's hard to overcome, because most of those kids that they were having success recruiting were in Big 12 country. They don't play games down there, and now you're trying to make up ground against other Big 10 teams in that region, and it just has not worked.
This is their 11th season coming up in the Big 10. They've had three winning seasons since joining the Big 10. It's unfathomable.
Remember, and they've had talent. Like, I mean, maybe not in all the right places, but you think of some of the guys that have come out of it, like Adrian Martinez.
Yeah.
Heck of a college quarterback. You know, we mentioned Dylan Raiola earlier. They've had some running backs. I mean, they've had plenty of talent in certain positions, maybe not in the positions you need all the time, the trenches, so to speak. But they've even had some guys that, I mean, Dominican Sue.
I think he was a Big 12 player.
He played one season.
It
was their last year in the Big 12 where they did make the conference championship game, but they still weren't like Nebraska.
No, they weren't. They weren't, you know, up to snuff of the black shirt defense there. Nebraska's highest ranking in the Big 10 is fourth. That's the highest that they've ever finished. Matt Rhule, his first year where he went 5-7, was tied for fourth in the Big Ten. Matt Rhule, the last 2 years where he's gone 7-6, he accounts for 66.666, repeating, of course, of the percentage of their winning season since joining the Big Ten, has finished 12th and 10th in the Big Ten.
The crazy thing is the expansion of the Big Ten, especially when it was Nebraska and all that, has probably helped in Ohio State more than any other team, because it's expanded their, and we were already nationwide, but it's really expanded the swath of where they can go. And it's also shown people that, hey, Ohio State, you know, we'll say Michigan or whatever, they can compete against some of these really, really good schools.
Well, absolutely.
And to your point, Beam, about where they finished, like, oh, now you bring in Oregon, now you bring in USC. Like,
I compete that just, with them.
Yeah, that just bumps you down a little bit in sort of the pecking
Penn State?
Order.
Yeah, Penn State's in the middle of nowhere, but you're not competing with them.
Right. And, but, I mean, like, Penn State has been geographically in the same, you know, they were independent before, but they recruited the same type of guys or same region of guys and whatnot. So, I don't know. It's a tough situation. The fan base certainly is passionate enough, and the money's there, so they should be better.
Yes, they should. Will they be better? I don't know. We'll all find out together coming up this season. Former Buckeye head coach Thad Matta, he was on our airwaves a little bit earlier today. You're going to hear from him coming up next. It's the Buckeye Show on the
phone. One medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear.
Things are popping at Al's Delicious Popcorn. With over 80 flavors to choose from, we have something for everyone. From classics like caramel cashew, white cheddar, and our famous vanilla butternut, to new flavors like chicken and waffles and spicy barbecue. They are all made fresh and they are all delicious. Visit us online at alspopcorn.com or come see us and experience the best service in town at 1500 Bethel Road in Columbus. Al's Delicious Popcorn.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams, the agile, get it done teams, the achieve more together teams, and the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture, happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay optimized.
Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, where can you get a full suite of business banking services served up by well-trained, caring employees with unquestionable integrity? It's right here at Heartland. Relationships matter. I'm Scott McComb. Come over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Getting a speeding
Buckeye football fall camp is coming. Will Julian Sayin take his game to the next level? Will Matt Patricia's defense dominate again? Join us live for training camp fun starting Thursday, August 6th. Your home of the Buckeyes. Woo! The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Now, rain and thunderstorms move back into the forecast across central Ohio this weekend. Overnight tonight, increasing clouds, low 70. On Saturday, a couple of showers early in the day, and then a 60% chance of rain and storms in the afternoon and nighttime hours, the high 79. 50% chance of rain and storms on Sunday, the high 80. And a couple of those rain showers and storms will trickle into Monday. That is your 97.1 The Fan weather forecast. I'm 10 Weather Impact Chief Meteorologist Chris Tomer.
Ryan Day's favorite radio show. Probably. Maybe. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Hanging out with my guy Patrick Murphy of Bucknuts with us here on this lovely Friday in Central Ohio. I want to let you know that we here on The Buckeye Show brought to you by our good friends over at CareSource. Before we hear from Thad Matta, saw this a little bit earlier today. DeAndre Hopkins hired as wide receivers coach, assistant wide receivers coach at Georgia Tech. I know that Georgia Tech does not run the triple option anymore, but when I read that DeAndre Hopkins was going to Georgia Tech to be the assistant wide receivers coach, I'm like, my brain can't comprehend him being the wide receivers coach at Georgia Tech. It's just something that I cannot get past Georgia Tech running the triple option and why he would go down there. I know it's because one of his former coaches is the assistant down there to Brent Key, which who I like. I think Georgia Tech's building a solid program and a solid foundation down there in Atlanta, but I just can't in my mind compute that he is the assistant wide receivers coach at Georgia Tech. It's something I just can't do.
Georgia Tech's had some good receivers.
Yes, they have.
Calvin Johnson, yeah. Demaryius Thomas, rest
yes,
in peace.
I know.
So yeah, I mean, look, when they aren't running the triple option,
they're not now.
They throw it around.
They throw the ball around. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if he decides to make this a career.
I would think he's wading into the waters.
Yeah, just see what it's like. As an assistant wide receivers coach, I think you get to get your feet wet.
Maybe the Rams sign him in week 12 for a playoff push.
I don't know. If Devontae Adams gets hurt, I guess you might need to because that receiver room is shallow.
What's going on with Puka
Nacua? There's a nice article, I haven't read it yet, on The Athletic okay. about can he become the face of the franchise.
After Matt Stafford?
Yeah, and Myles Garrett.
Who else?
Aaron Donald. We don't have time.
Well, Aaron Donald will be once he comes back after training camp's over because he's not going to come back during training camp.
I don't think
he's
coming back until like October.
I think he will come back mid-training camp.
Do you?
I do.
Is that a bold pee from you?
Sure.
Okay.
I think a lot of people have, like, I'm not the only one that thinks that.
I'm going to say he's not.
Okay. And
see, I feel like
they'll come back in, like, I'm going to say mid-October.
The Rams are setting themselves up for failure, putting so much into all this. I mean,
this is what they do.
Yeah. This is what they do.
Also,
this is coming from a Browns fan who wallows in misery.
The fact that Pat has won two Super Bowls in the last.
Just one.
One?
Two Super Bowls in my life.
Okay. That's right. Two Super Bowls. Yeah. I thought they beat the Seahawks last year, actually.
They did not. Yeah. You had the game on earlier.
I know. Yeah, the Seahawks won the NFC. Also, they won the Super Bowl. This is also coming from a guy who's won a Super Bowl in the last 5 years. You will not meet a more self-deprecating fan than Patrick, even though his team is really, really good.
My buddy Jeff Rapp, who used to cover the Buckeyes.
I've met Jeff before. Yeah, he's been here.
He also is a Rams fan. We were talking earlier, a few weeks ago, actually, about just like we hate everything about them being the preseason favorite. I mean, to be fair, most of the preseason favorites in the NFL don't win. I think in the last, like, I don't remember if it was 10, 15, or 20 years, but there's only been two, and it was the Patriots and the Chiefs that were the odds on favorite.
That probably went back to back.
Maybe. It could have been.
Probably.
But yeah, I don't love it. Like, I'd like to be good, obviously. But not like, let's talk about them all the time good. Because it's just, everything is going to be diagnosed. It's like the Buckeyes, right? Like, we're going to break down every little thing.
I have no point of reference when it comes to the NFL, because I'm a Browns fan.
I don't either. I have zero point of reference
now,
on that.
Now, Pat, were you born a Rams fan, or is it something that developed?
Yeah, I mean, I was born in St. Louis, so that's
okay. So you were not Rams, you weren't even around when it was the LA Rams before.
They probably when I was very young.
Very
maybe?
Young. And because they left in 95.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like six.
Okay. So there you go. I can appreciate anybody that's been a fan from that time.
Also, you've had to live through some really lean years.
Yeah.
They were bad for a long, long time.
Post Mark Bulger.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford years. Basically, James Laurinaitis' whole career there.
Yeah, I don't think James has played in a single playoff
game.
That
is correct.
During his entire NFL career, which is so hard to fathom.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some Thad Mata, shall we? This came out yesterday, Ohio State meeting Butler on Sunday, October 5th. Make your plans now because that is an Ohio State football off weekend. So that's the Sunday following the off Saturday for Ohio State. We don't know the tip-off time, but I do think it's fun that these two programs getting together. Would you call it the Thad Mata Bowl, or would you call it the Diebler Derby? We were having quite the discussion about this last evening.
I think you got to give it to Thad.
Okay.
Like, he seems more entrenched in both programs' histories.
Yes, he was. So he was joining T-Bone and Tyvus a little bit earlier today on these airwaves, and he was talking about how this all came together between Ohio State and Butler.
You know, it was kind of funny because Jake had always asked me to come back over there, and I said, there's no way I'm coming back over there and playing a game. And he said, well, let's do an exhibition game. And so it had been in the works for a while, and I'm excited to see it. It should be a great early season contest. Now, these exhibition games have taken on a life of their own. It's amazing what's going on now in the preseason.
I already don't want to come back. I mean, I get it. I understand it. If I was in his shoes, I probably wouldn't want to come back either. But he would get the biggest standing ovation.
And that's the problem. No one hates the limelight as much as Thad Mata.
Yeah.
When he won his 300th game, they like did a whole thing on the court. And then when he came into the press room, they had like these cookies, or they had one I don't remember exactly. There were cookies that were like
either a cookie or many cookies.
Yes. That had like icing, and then it said 300 on it, and it was scarlet and gray. I took the cookie because he was like, I don't want it. You can have it. So I took the cookie home.
Did you put it in the freezer?
Put it in the freezer. I do not live at that place anymore, and I have no idea where the cookie is.
What did you do with it? Did you throw it away?
I don't know. I had roommates at the time, so somebody probably found it and ate it. But
home at 2 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he was not interested in that. But it is great to hear him talk. Like, I mean, those were some great days for Buckeye basketball.
What about his favorite moment? He's had a lot of really, really good moments coaching this Ohio State basketball team. What was number one to him?
That game against Illinois was a defining moment for our tenure at Ohio State. And that was year one. Year two, we win the Big Ten. Year three, we play for the national championship, and then we just went on a heck of a roll there. And but that shot by Matt was still to this day. I've still got the picture in my office at home, and that was a moment that I will never ever forget.
I wouldn't either. That's my first memory, like recollection of Ohio State basketball, was watching that game. And for whatever reason, Luther Head and D Brown and all these guys for Illinois, like undefeated team. It's like, well, what can Ohio State do? And I don't even know why. I mean, it was probably the Sunday afternoon CBS game that it was just on the TV in our house. And I was like, oh my God, did that really just happen? Like, that was crazy.
That is, I mean, that's the obvious answer for him, right? But there are, I wish he would have given three or four, because there are plenty of options there. The Evan Turner shot against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, he was going nuts.
Yeah, well, and he hits the half court and they win the game. I mean, really, you could pick a year and there's probably two or three.
The Xavier tournament game.
Yeah, oh, right.
That was unreal.
Yeah, I mean,
Aaron Kraft, get out of the way. I'm going to shoot a three here and knock down the buzzer beater.
That whole tournament was wild until the end.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the whole thing was.
Yeah.
I think my favorite memory of Thad Mata, or when he was just coaching the team, has nothing to do with anything on the court. They were playing in some NCAA tournament game, and Tracy Wolfson was like going up to him, and he was like sweating profusely. He's like, "Yeah, it's hot in here." And Tracy Wolfson just goes, "Well, you're hot." And then he just kind of looked at her like, "What did you just say there?" And then I think Jim Nance is like, "All right, Tracy, good job." And they went back to the game like it was nothing. But that may be my favorite moment that nobody remembers at all. But that was, I mean, it was terrific to hear from him.
There are worse people you could be called hot by.
Absolutely there is. You can go listen to the entire interview on T-Bone and Tyvus's, whether you download the podcast or go back on the YouTube page and listen to that. That was great stuff from those guys. Bill Bender of the Sporting News, he joined us a little earlier. We talked all things getting ready for the college football season. That's coming up here in 2 minutes. It's the Buckeye Show on The Fan.
For over 30 years, Schumacher Homes has been building affordable custom homes throughout the Buckeye State. Experience true customization on your land, your way, without any compromises. Come visit any of our 9 Ohio model home and design studio locations to see the latest in design trends and learn about our award-winning building process, or start online at SchumacherHomes.com. You'll be surprised how affordable a custom home will be. Schumacher Homes, proud home building sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Inside the body, cancer divides, but inside the James, we unite. With nearly 300 cancer specialists, each focused on a single type of cancer, and over 1,500 researchers, relentlessly pursuing new discoveries and sparking new hope. So if you just heard the words, "you have cancer," you should know this. We heard them too. And there's no better team in the nation to create a cancer-free world. The James at Ohio State.
Enjoy
for full terms.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
4 out of 5 dentists recommend this show. The other dentist is a Michigan fan. Yuck. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
With our great friend we haven't heard from a while, he is Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Bill, always appreciate the time. I heard you were doing very, very exciting tonight. What's the deal? What do you got going on?
Hey, PLL and Professional Lacrosse League in Columbus, Ohio, and we always take a chance to go and see some of the pro teams here. It'll be a fun night, and looking forward to it. As I was driving down Lane Avenue, you get that, hey, about a month, I'm going to be driving here for something else.
Did you get that feeling when you were, covering the Big Ten Media Days, watching Big Ten Media Days? Because I said it earlier in the week, I'm like, as soon as we get to Media Days across college football, we know that Ohio State starts camp next week. It feels like the off season is over, and then we shift to kind of talking week, and then all of a sudden it's put the pads on and time to go. It does feel like football is right around the corner, Bill.
Yeah, right. What training camp stories are going to hit? Because we know, what we've talked about all summer is these kind of three powers in the Big Ten, whether it's Ohio State, Oregon, who brings back a lot. When I was writing the yearbook preview for Oregon, they have a loaded roster coming back. And then, of course, Indiana, and Kurt Cignetti got the mic last, took a parting shot at the SEC, which we all loved. And, I was on a show yesterday. I got to tell you this one. And in Knoxville, and they said the Big Ten was hanging on the rim too long. And I said, the SEC hung on the rim for about a decade. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to enjoy that technical foul if we get one.
I absolutely agree. We have talked about Kurt Cignetti a lot here on this program and on our airwaves, certainly, over the last couple of years. And the fact that he kind of got his coronation, I feel like every question, or at least every coach at Big Ten Media Days, Bill, in the Big Ten was asked like one question about Indiana. Can you become Indiana? What do you do against Indiana? I believe Ryan Day used the term, they're really ramping things up, over there. But boy, was that quite the story this year as they're looking to repeat as national champions. And if I would have said that to you 5 years ago, you would have called me a crazy person.
3 years ago,
yeah.
I wrote in my story, when Sid was on the podium 2 years ago, he was saying these things. And I remember distinctly kind of having my head down on the keyboard thinking, all right, yeah, you're mad about being picked 17th. We get it. But he's been phenomenal. And it's two different kind of programs. Like Indiana has their formula. They're going to do it their way. Ohio State has theirs where, they do get elite recruits and they use the transfer portal less. But I think it's a lot about the development of NFL players. So I think the contrast in how those two teams have become elite is interesting. Oregon probably somewhere in between, I think, because they have their own style too. And then you get into, as Jake Butt was saying during the telecast, the meat, Penn State, Penn State, Michigan, USC, Iowa, Illinois. Those are all teams that, even Washington, that's 9 teams that I would say is probably ranked in top 40 to start the season.
Absolutely they are. And I think, Tony Petitti was asked about the depth of the conference. Kurt Cignetti was certainly asked about it, and he came up with that rebuttal that he so eloquently put yesterday in the microphone in Chicago. Let me ask you this, Bill. You cover the sport as a whole as a national writer for the sport that we love. Those programs that you just listed, or maybe outside of those, inside of the Big Ten, to you, I mean, who are the most couple of most interesting programs, not necessarily best national championship or bust kind of teams? Who are you looking at this year with the most interest?
USC.
Yeah.
Because Lincoln Riley, there was a lot written about, hey, it's different this year. And you kind of go down the Groundhog Day part of that, where it's like, yeah, you kind of said that last year, but do they have it in the trenches? Do they have it on defense with Gary Patterson? Do they have the things necessary to be a playoff team and a top 10 team, which is about where we had them? Keep in mind, they play all of them. They play. It comes down to me, Michigan and USC play Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State. Penn State does not play any of those schools. So Matt Campbell, I mean, the schedule breaks in Penn State's favor, but they're still in a transition year with a lot of guys from Iowa State.
Absolutely they are. I mean, right, look at Rocco Beck, to everything that he did at Iowa State. I know that Matt Campbell talked about what a great place it is to be at Penn State. They're fascinating for me, for sure, but I think you hit the nail on the head. USC is the most fascinating program, Bill, and as I was doing my proprietary blend of, I guess, you know, teams who I believe that can win the Big Ten, I put USC and Lincoln Riley in a category of its own. Like, I've got to see it to believe it, just because of what you said. We've heard the same song and dance now for like the last couple of years.
Well, and it, that doesn't mean that the pageantry to the USC Ohio State game isn't going to be the same. You know, there's a generation of Ohio State fans that probably don't get the gravity of what that USC Ohio State rivalry used to be. It's probably going to click for me when you see the white jerseys in the Coliseum, mm-hmm. right? And then that, what a setting that's going to be when those two teams play there. But that is another tough game for Ohio State. You know, Michigan's another one where their schedule's really tough. I know lots being made about what Kyle Whittingham said yesterday about he doesn't hate Ohio State, or hatred isn't a word he wants to use. Well, that I understand the sentiment, but the wake-up call will come when they play. I mean, it is BYU, Utah's heated. Nobody's saying that. It's a different world, though, and you have to be ready for it when you get out there.
I think you got to live it to experience it, right, as we check in with Bill Bender of the Sporting News with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Bill, let's take a step back away from the Big Ten nationally. Who are you looking at in college football? Notre Dame getting a lot of love. Texas getting a lot of love. We'll figure out a lot about Ohio State and Texas come week number two of the football season. Who are you looking at as not even a dark horse team, but who you believe could reign supreme at the end of January 25th, which I believe is the date of the final, the college football playoff?
Well, I mentioned those three Big Ten teams. They're all capable of winning the national title. Outside of that, I'm looking at four teams. Georgia and Texas, and Texas will get to see against Ohio State in a heavyweight fight in September. Georgia's not being talked about much. They're pretty loaded. They're going to be good. Miami's interesting because of Darian Mensah, and can they do this again? Pretty talented offensive roster. And then Notre Dame. We talked about Notre Dame. They're going to have a lot of guys on preseason All-American list. CJ Carr, a lot expected from him. The schedule's pretty favorable for them to get to the playoff. They get that motivation from the snub. The interesting thing about all seven of those teams is I think they all have an NFL quarterback. What round is immaterial, but all seven of those teams have a guy that I think is going to play on Sunday. So that's going to determine a lot. Quarterback play is going to be huge among those national title contenders.
They always are. Bill, before we get you out of here, what's your thoughts on Lane Kiffin and the LSU Tigers as we get ready to roll in the season? I know on Tuesday, Justin Zwick and I were going over their first four games of the year. It's not an easy entrance into the season for the Lane train and the Tigers, especially given that week four matchup that they're going to play at Ole Miss.
No, it's not. And they play Alabama, and they play Texas, and they play Tennessee on the road. Tennessee's not, they're never going to be happy to see Lane Kiffin. So yeah. I think this is his defining stop in his coaching career. Everything else, the exits, the way he left, it is what it is. This is the one. I mean, three of the last four coaches at LSU have won a national title. And the last guy, Brian Kelly, won. He just didn't win enough. So I with the amount of transfers, they do have an interesting roster. It's going to come down to Sam Levitt's health. Lane's going to be Lane, but what that means, I mean, he's been off of social media, which is good for him. We'll see how it goes.
Bill, before we get you out of here, how are you feeling about the Packers going into the year? You think they're NFC North champs worthy, or are you looking at someone else?
Oh, just speaking of hanging on the rim, you might as well do it right now as a Bears fan. You know, I'm looking forward to the year. I'm hoping Micah comes back soon. You know as well as I do, being a fan of the division, Minnesota will be better. Detroit's still going to be around. It is going to be, I think, the best division in the NFL.
It's going to be fun. Bill, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hanging out with us here this evening. Have a great time at the lacrosse game, buddy. Always look forward to chatting with you. Have a great rest of your summer. Well, for the next week, that is, until training camp begins. And we'll check in again soon, okay?
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Bill Bender of the Sporting News with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hashtag Buckeyes is coming at you next. It's the Buckeye Show on the Fan.
I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
Save time, reduce costs, and eliminate printer frustrations with Modern Office Methods, your award-winning managed print services provider. We know how to help your business reduce the cost of office printing by identifying necessary print and paper waste. We can improve your printer fleet and decrease the amount of printer frustration. Why wait? Start saving time and money today. Start with our comprehensive print fleet assessment by going to momnet.com and click on free assessment.
Experience the ultimate gridiron experience at the Ohio State Football Training Camp presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture, happening at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center August 6th through August 8th. Don't miss your chance to get the first look at your Ohio State football team. Bring your friends and family and dive into the excitement with inflatables, giveaways, and more. Tickets are limited, so get yours today to ensure you don't miss out on the fun. Visit Ticketmaster.com/Ohio State Buckeyes to purchase your tickets today.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
On this
Minitza.
Bishop and Friends.
He's 100% right. He knows if I go wake them up tomorrow and they're up before her, then it's going to come on me.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Social media can be a cesspool. Allow us to navigate the waters. Hashtag Buckeyes.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Call the plumbing, heating, and cooling technicians at the Waterworks and header today. Call 614-232-2222. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight, for watching on the YouTube stream. Always appreciate everybody there. Want to let you know, Buckeye fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. August 6th through the 8th, that's next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, over at the Woody for Ohio State Football Training Camp, all presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players and even celebrities like Patrick Murphy. Experience
or
the
Brandon
start
Beam.
Of a new season up close. Tickets are limited, going fast, $48 general admission or upgrade to VIP shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. I was telling Jay-Z, like, we're going to try to go to practice, I think, on Thursday over there. Maybe on Friday again, I'll just go by myself, but I always like taking Willie with us. He seems to enjoy it. He's been there every year of his life so far, so I'm like, you know, that's a pretty cool tradition that,
yeah,
you know, we get to do. Maybe Benjamin will make an appearance. Who knows? It's hard to wrangle two kids at once, especially
he's rolling
mom,
now.
I mean, they're too young to understand just how cool you are.
I'm not cool.
No, I mean, you're working on it now. Do it early.
I'm not cool. Also, yes, big news Pat mentioned. You know, I got a video from my lovely bride, Meredith, just as we were doing the show. Benjamin has officially rolled over from his back to his stomach. And if you're a parent out there, and if you have toddlers or if you have infants, you know that that means one thing and one thing only. The movement has begun, and also the next 2 weeks of sleep is going to be a disaster because that's all they're going to be doing in their crib in the evening time. But yes, you can come hang out with us. But yeah, I bring those guys over there. But I'm telling you, I'm not watching practice because Willie likes to run through, you know, the tackling dummies. He likes to run through like the running back pads. So I'm just, there's no way that I will be able to take anything away from practice those 3 days. I'll have to rely on you and your eyeballs.
Rely on Austin. He'll probably know more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working with you guys Thursday and Friday next week. It'll be great. You know, we'll have all kinds of observations. Also, an observation that was made at Big Ten Media Days. News to me. We were just watching this video a little bit earlier on, and this came from Brianna Green, who I don't know if she covers Oregon or not. Sports reporter out in Seattle, Phoenix area, or Portland area. So, yes, she does. She covers Oregon, Oregon football. They were talking to the Oregon representatives, the players, and they said, what's a unique thing that your team does? Apparently, Oregon's thing in huddles in what they do.
The offensive huddle.
The offensive huddle. Yeah, defenses, I don't think huddle.
Well, you can.
Yeah,
they used to.
You just kind of stand around.
Yeah, you kind of stand around and get yelled at from position to position where you need to be. Apparently, the offensive huddle, they have farting competitions in the huddle during games, which I think is terrific. Everyone needs to have a competition of some sort in a huddle. When I was playing junior varsity football, this went all the way through, you know, the last year that I played football, the offensive line, I don't even know how this began. It's not like farting, but we always used, so the quarterback used to be, you know, in the front. And again, we're a triple option team. So like I need to hear an odd number or an even number, depending on whether I block left or block right. Okay. Like that's all 35, 36, everything that comes after that. I don't care. Like I know we're running the ball. Like I think one year we ran two pass plays.
You're running gap schemes.
Yes, correct. It's like, all right, man in front, man across, man over. Okay, there we go. Good. Like we're good to go. I just hit the guy in front of me and I think we're going to be okay. Try to, you know, get your hip shifted to the left or to the right and everything's going to be okay. I don't know how this started, but we used to be down in the huddle and, for whatever reason, like all of us used to wear those bulky, you know, ankle braces, as you should if you're an offensive lineman. We didn't have like the big knee braces that are, I think, required now by really any offensive lineman in college. Maybe not the NFL, but I think, you know, Ohio State, I think all the offensive linemen wear them, Pat, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. At least the tackles do. I'm not sure about the interiors. But we always used to get down to the huddle, you know, get on our, you know, hands down, so that way the skill players, when you run triple option, you don't have that many skill players, could hear the quarterback bark out the call. And whenever we were down, we would always rip the hair off of each other's legs. That was our thing in the huddle. So I'm glad to know that Oregon is doing some tradition, because I still, on both legs, cannot grow hair. Like my hair on my legs start like mid shin. On the ankles down, I cannot grow hair because I was getting basically like bikini waxes for like 5 years.
I'm just,
can't do it.
Disappointed that we didn't get credit for starting this for Oregon, since that's what we do in the studio every day.
That is true. Yeah, we've been doing it for a long time.
Come on.
Even before you started, before I started, before Mo started,
you were working with Bobby, man. I know what's going on.
Well, there has been some smells in that studio. I'll tell you one thing, working with the general. By the way, happy birthday to him tomorrow.
Ooh,
big happy birthday, Bob. If you are out at training camp next week, now I don't know his schedule on which day he's going to do it, but Bob always, on his birthday week, will do the conditioning test, which is 20 half gassers that he needs to do. He'll be on the opposite side of the field. So if you are going to the
Woody, he usually does it before, right? Before people get out there?
He usually does it after their show. So we used to end at 9. They end at 8 now.
Yep.
So what time do gates open? I think they open.
Gate,
They open at 8 o'clock. So as soon as you're walking in there, Bob will probably, you know, be stretching. He'll probably start around 8:30. He will be on the opposite field where nobody is at, and he will be running back and forth 20 times. Within, I think, an 18-second, it's either 18 seconds or 19 seconds. Got to run all the way down and all the way back. for Bob. That's what he will be doing for his birthday gift. That's what he gifts to himself, to still try to complete the Ohio State conditioning test.
Tomorrow is also the birthday of our recruiting guy over at Bucknuts, Garrick Hodge. I do not think Garrick will be doing the same thing for himself.
I think we should compare him and Bob. I think they should do it together.
Garrick played some ball.
I know he did.
Yeah.
What about on Bob's last half gasser?
I'll see if Garrick even wants to get there that early.
It's probably a good point. On Bob's last one, can Garrick outrun Bob? Which, by the way, 18 seconds, it sounds like a long time to go down and back 52 and a half yards and then 52 and a half yards. It's not.
No.
It is not a long time. To do that 20 times in a row with no break in between.
Can a recruiting writer outrun a former professional athlete who does this every year?
You know what? If I were to put the odds on that, I would put it like minus 900, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. No plus offense 3, to Garrick.
No, I mean, none at all. Zero offense to him.
Bobby is what I want to be when I grow up.
Me too. God, I would love to be him. I'd love to be. We'll have to check in with him next week.
Absolutely.
At some point. Before we get out of here tonight, our fan poll is brought to you by our good friends over at JT's Pizza and Pub, online at 971thefan.com or on X, the Everything app, at 971thefan. How many current college football coaches would you take over Kurt Cignetti? 0, 1, 2, or 3+? Over Kurt Cignetti. And I'm putting this just in Ohio State, like to coach Ohio State. Who would you take?
Kirby Smart, Ryan Day.
Okay. That's it? You're at two?
That might be the list. Like, I mean.
Those are the only three. Well, I guess Dabo.
He has been exposed.
He's lost the plot. They've lost the plot down there.
I was thinking, like, okay, Lincoln Riley, Dan Lanning.
Absolutely not Lincoln Riley.
Right. Like, who are these other top coaches? Kalen DeBoer coached in a national championship game but didn't win. Yeah, I mean, those probably are the two.
Sark?
No.
I mean, I don't think he should be, but that would be another that may be considered up there.
Yeah, I mean,
not for me.
No.
not my kind of guy.
Like, I don't think that winning the national championship is an end-all be-all, like Ed Orgeron.
Coach O.
Actually, there's multiple LSU coaches that I think you could probably say that about.
Les Miles, no.
Yeah, like, but, I mean, what Kurt Cignetti has done, and with the talent.
He's terrific.
I mean.
Marcus Freeman?
No, not yet. I mean, maybe if he can keep Notre Dame and get, you know, get back and win one. Or
Lane Kiffin?
Just get back. No. but, I mean, like Bill Bender was saying, like, you know, when he stood up at the podium 2 years ago and talked about how great they were going to be. Like, you have to know how good you are as a coach to have the cojones to do that.
You certainly have to have the self-belief.
Yeah, and he did, and then he backed it up. And, like, a lot of guys can say it, like we talked about. A lot of people are saying positive things.
I think it's two. I think it's Kirby Smart and Ryan.
I think so, too.
I think that's it. I think that's the number. Mo?
I'm not. I think Kirby Smart is a great coach. I think he's lost a step. If he can come back this year. But he is a multiple time, you know, national champion. But man, with Cignetti, like,
he's a pistol.
I even with Ryan Day, I think Day is a better coach overall, X's and O's. But man, Cignetti, he's good at the X's and O's, but he makes his players really believe.
What is the voting at?
The split is. One is the leader in the clubhouse at 28.8%, which I'm guessing Ryan Day. That second is two at 27.5%. Zero is at 27%. Three is at 17.
Okay. So fairly evenly split there.
Fellas, had a great time with you tonight. Let's do it again at some point in the future. Okay. Everyone have an awesome evening. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy some Reds baseball up next right here on the Fan.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
Life is more fun with a pal. So is pizza. So check out Donato's $5 Pizza Pals menu. Order any large pizza and add your choice of a sub, salad, wings, dessert, and more for just $5 each. Order your favorite.